figured if it went another way, it was not my idea. I don't know what he was talking about. I would just, April, slow your roll. Slow your roll. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Ruth. I got another part of that card to read. I didn't know that it was a two-part card. This is from the Ferris family. Flat Top showed up last week for Charles's family, the Ferris family. Thank you so much for the prayers, cards, phone calls, food. Cynthia, Mary Beth, that brought breakfast over. The church family for providing dinner for the family. Thanks so much for the servers Saturday night. Cynthia, Mary Beth, Sharon, Patsy Healy family. The family could not be more appreciative. There's a partner that says, finally, Brother Kevin, thank you for your time. And there's some other stuff there. But I just want y'all to know, and Nancy and anybody else I do a funeral for, it's my honor to stand for your family. Okay? That's just, that's an honor. If you got your Bibles, go to Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to give credit where the credit's due on this. A good friend of mine by the name of Ronald Guff, he's probably one of the best preachers I know. He's from 11th Avenue Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. I don't listen to his stuff very much anymore. I used to a lot. I used to see him in revival quite a bit. But earlier this week, I was, I was studying, and I got in a little area of study, and I thought, well, I'll listen to somebody preach other than myself. And so I listened to him preach, and he covered a point here, so I'm going to give him most of the credit for this message. I'm going to preach it the way God's given it to me, too, but I'm killing time for you guys to get to Ruth chapter 1. We're working on a deficiency today, okay, in our church. We have a deficiency in our church. You know that? We have a deficiency. We have a couple. Just a couple. No, we got more than a couple. But we have a deficiency in our church. Our deficiency is this. Our church is growing so fast. In the last year or two, that we've had people join the church and come to the church. We've even had people get saved at this church. And yet, weeks later, they've gone missing. And that's a deficiency in our church. We're not the only church that has that deficiency. But it happens a lot. And we're going to preach about that today. I believe there's a message in that. And it's for us. And when they go missing, when they go away, when they go do something else, don't think of it, man, they're out of church. Wonder what they did wrong. Because it could easily be us. Matter of fact, I'm not really just preaching this to you. I'm preaching it to me, and it's going to be a simple message. Really simple. So simple that some of y'all are going to leave here and go, man, can't get that guy can he get any deeper than that? Can he get no more theological than what he did? But every time I study when Jesus preached, he preached simple things like, I am the door. You can't get no more simple than I am the door. I am the way, I am the truth and the life. Amen? He broke salvation down to seed, farming seed. Put it in good ground, water it, watch it grow. Amen? If you will, Kyle, give me those first two verses. Give me the first one out of Psalms 91:1. I had so much confirmation on this message this morning, I almost had to stop and just say thanks to everybody in the church who said something or posted something or done something today. You probably had confirmation on this message, okay? The songs that were sung today, well, most of them. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. Dwell in the secret place. What is that secret place? I've never preached on this verse. What is that secret place? The secret place is the place that God would have you be. Write that down. The secret place is the place that God would have you be. Nobody else knows it. Nobody else can understand it. Nobody else can explain it. But you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be there. What mission you're supposed to do and what church you're supposed to belong to, where you're at, what you're supposed to be doing. And no matter if that looks difficult or easy, no matter if it looks like, man, that's a crazy, don't be there. If God tells you to be there, that's the safest place you could be. You go back and read the whole Psalm 91. We're talking about being in the place you want to be is where God would have you to be. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. The devil himself and your flesh will try to pull you out of that place. Well, when you do, when he does, or when you do, you're going to be in the most dangerous place. Because then you're not going to be under the protection of the Almighty God. You're going to be on your own. You're going to be in a desperate place. And let me say this, and there's nobody in this room that is off limits for that to happen to. It can happen easily in your life. Kyle, give me that other verse. Now, y'all have heard me preach on this because it's one of my favorite things to preach on. It's 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The number one tactic of a lion, the number one tactic of him in your life is to isolate you. If the devil can isolate you and get you away from, number one, God, number two, God's people, then that's what he would do. And if he's pushing you in that place, you need to identify it quickly and say, wait a minute, I'm not where I need to be. I'm getting away from my health. I'm getting away from my strength. I'm getting away from what is working in my life. Amen? And sometimes it can look so good. It can look so right and be so wrong. Y'all ready to get in the Word of God? Let's jump in Ruth chapter 1. Let's look at this. I want y'all to see it. This is the first time. I am a lover of the book of Ruth. I mean, if you ask me what book I would love to read over and over and over, because it's so sweet of a story, so awesome a story, it's the book of Ruth. If there's any Bible study that I would rather teach, book of Ruth. And you know what's amazing? God never shows up audibly in the book of Ruth. He never does no major, just some major miracle in the book of Ruth. It's almost like a normal story in the Bible, but God's in it, and it's like, wow. He just shows out through people. And that's what God mostly does right now, shows out through people. Amen? That's why I love it so much. Y'all ready? Look at this. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. I've never preached it this way. I've never preached Ruth in a negative way. What I mean in a negative way? I've never preached it like, man, Naomi and Elimelech, they messed up. But you know what? God can change you on some things. Amen? Because look at this. There was a famine that rose up in Bethlehem. And in verse 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Amen? I read this a million times, never seen it. They said, you know what? There's a famine and it's hard. You ever been in a hard place in your life? What do you think would have helped him greatly at this time? Maybe to pray. Maybe to say, hey, God, things are getting tough here. In Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, when the house of bread's empty, you might want to start praying. Ain't that amazing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is known as the house of bread? Never mind. He also said in John, I am the bread of life. Never mind, I'm sorry. That's that ADHD preaching stuff you got going on. But in the house of bread, it's empty, and Elimelech says, you know what, he says, we're going down to Moab. And you know what that says when you don't pray about the situation? You're saying, God, I don't need your help in this. God, I can fix this. I can do this myself. God, when we run into a situation that we need your expertise, then we'll talk to you about it. But famines, work, my family, my future life, you know what? That's on me. Can anybody in here can y'all attest to ever making a decision like that? Have y'all made some decisions in your life just recently that you didn't talk to God about? You just said, hey, it's a pretty good idea. It looks good.
You know what? When I read this, my bent is to preach about people who get into sexual sin or drugs and alcohol or bad relationships. But praise God, this is just somebody who said, you know what? I want to go somewhere else to work. Man, you know what? God kind of wants to talk to you about every move you make. But ain't it amazing that we don't talk to Him about a whole lot of stuff? Oh, God, it's really tough, so I think I need to make a move. I need to move down to Moab. You write this down. Moab is your fix. Moab is a fix to your problem that God doesn't have anything to do with. God, I wish we could. Sunday morning's hard to preach because it just feels like you're kind of like, I don't want to waste anybody's time, but I kind of want to dig in right here. Have you ever done some stuff like, hey God, I'm not going to talk to you about this prayer request. I'm not going to bring up this life change, but I'm going to make a decision that's going to change everybody's life and my family. And God, I know you're not going to have a problem with it. It just seems like a great idea, God. Let's do it. They're just going there. Write this down. They just went down there for a little while. Sojourn. Sojourn means they're just going down there to live for a little bit. Some of you in this room, the devil's going to try to pull you out of this church. Now, if God pulls you out of this church and you go to another ministry or another church or another place, that's a God thing. It's okay. I'm not going to wrestle you about it. If God says, hey, I want you to go to here. I want you to start this ministry. I want you in this church. I want that. If God's in it, praise God, it'll prosper, and I'm okay with it. But guess what? The devil will try to get you to leave. Usually, write this down, right after a big God thing happens to you. When a big God thing happens, somebody gets saved, somebody joins a church, somebody gets baptized, big things are happening. Guess what? All of a sudden now, about a week or two later, guess what? You're so upset and tore out of the frame that you got to move. You got to leave. Get your feelings hurt. I ain't going back. Amen? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? In the church, I don't know if they even say it anymore. The devil will take you farther than you want to go. Was it going to keep you longer than you want to stay? And yeah, well, the one we're focusing on today, he'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen. Has anybody in here? I know ain't nobody going to raise their hand or shout and say amen as to this, but is there anybody who dabbled with sin, who went the way of the devil, who walked away from godly stuff, walked away from godly church, godly people, and it cost you? But it kept you a little bit longer than you plan on. Did it keep you for a decade? Has it kept you for a decade? Amen. Because you know what? That's what That's what happened here. Look at this. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left of her two sons, verse 3. And they took to them wives, the women of Moab, the name of one of Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, they that dwelled there about 10 years. A sojourn or just a temporary deal turned into a decade. Golly, I could stop right there, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And we could have went home and said, yeah, I remember when I was just going to make, I just made one choice, and it cost me a decade. I just got involved with the wrong people, and it cost me a decade. I got hooked up with this thing that I made a decision on, and man, 10 years later. That's how the devil works. That's how this works. He would love for you to get in, get saved, get on fire, and then get out. Can I say something that's going to make some of y'all mad? I heard this all the time. Man, somebody get saved, and I said, that's what it's all about. Some of y'all right now are sitting there. Said, we'll see. Amen. Now, they made that decision. They were just going to go down there to sojourn. We ain't going to stay. We ain't going to live that long. Kind of reminds you of Lot, didn't it? Remember when Lot looked down there in the Sodom and Gomorrah? It was a good decision. If you really think about it, he was going with Abraham. Abraham prayed about everywhere he was going. He had set up an altar. He had set up some worship. He had set up some praise. Lot said, man, my uncle's crazy. Can he not see that big valley with all them where cows could be raised? The sheep herders were fighting. He said, you know what? I'm going to take my tent and I'm going to set it up. I'm going to face it towards him. You know what I mean? Down there, and he did. You know what? Next thing you know, he's just going to live down there and farm. Next thing you know, he's sitting in the gate. He's a ruler. Down in Sodom and Gomorrah, he's a ruler. He just went down there. I'm going to live right on the edge of Sin Town. Abraham prayed. You know what God said? Go anywhere but there. You can go anywhere else. Don't go there. Lot says, man, it looks good for farming, but it ain't good for raising families. Amen? Can I just say it this way? It ain't never good for raising family when you're not under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and leadership of God. I don't care how prosperous things. I don't care if you look on it on the outside and say, man, that's going to be good for me. If God ain't in it, it's going to be the worst thing you've ever done. Let's skip down to verse 19. Y'all ready? Jump down to 19. We're going somewhere. We ain't even got to the meat of what I'm trying to preach. Is that all right? Some of y'all are scared to death right now. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass that they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? I'll get you the whole thing. Let's write this. The whole title of the book is called Ruth. A great thing can come out of your biggest problems. That's good preaching. A really great thing can be brought out of mistakes. Amen? God don't need you to make the mistake to bring a great thing out of it. But if you do make a big mistake, a lot of times God will bring something great out of it. That's Ruth. That's the title of this whole book. Ruth, God went down and grabbed her out of somebody else's mistake. But Naomi comes back at the time of harvest. God will bless you even though you're a hot mess. When you come back, God will bless you, even though you're, God, there ain't nobody in here who's came back being a hot mess, and God was better to you than he should have been. No. He treats you better than you think he's going to. I was raised in church. I was afraid to go back. Not because the people, him. What's he going to do to me? I wouldn't do good to me. But he brings you back in a blessing. Can I preach a little more? Are y'all all right? What's the question at the end of that verse? Huh? Is this Naomi? 10 years will wear you out.
10 years of bitterness wear you out. Amen? There she is. 10 years of bitterness. Is that Naomi? Just 10 years. Man, 10 years of drug abuse, it'll wear you out. People look at you and go, is that so-and-so? 10 years of bad relationships? Oh, never mind. 10 years of doing it your way? 10 years of Moab? Is that Naomi? But don't be too critical. Don't be too critical, because that could be you. That could be you real quick. You wouldn't want that question. You know there's three ways to ask that question? Y'all want them? Watch this. Three ways to answer that question. Curious. Is that Naomi? That's okay. Any curious folk in here? Amen. I like to use myself because I don't want to point people out, but I'm just saying. Ain't that a preacher? Is that a preacher? That's what I like to hear. Oh my God. We need to pray for him. We love him, man. We want to encourage him. Man, I hope. Don't you want that kind of empathy? But too many times it's like this. Is that Naomi? Oh my gosh. Is that her? I knew they shouldn't have left. Judgmental, right? I think we live there more than we live anywhere else. When somebody messed up, really tore up, we ask the question, man, it's all about how you ask it. Oh, is that Naomi? Oh, is that Naomi? I knew. Because sometimes, in the spiritual world, sometimes, you know what? If we're doing good and somebody else is doing bad, that kind of affirms that we're good and they're not doing it right. That's wrong. When I see somebody broken, in a mess, in a place that they shouldn't be, I always see myself. I always say, man, God, thank you. Thank you for keeping me where we need to be. But can I encourage you right here why we need to be that empathetic voice? Because if they're there, if they're where they're supposed to be now, why do we have to worry about wearing them out about not being where they were yesterday? Amen? Oh, gosh, I'm preaching better than you. Do you hear what I just said? If they're standing in this church, if they're making it, if they're trying, I don't care if they're still jacked up, what if you just say, thank God they're here? Because if they're here, they can hear it, they can see it, they can feel it, and they can change. Can I help y'all this morning, big time? Because this is the whole reason I come to preach this message. Right here in this next verse. And it blew me away because I've never, ever seen it before. It's why you keep reading the Bible over and over and over. Because you see stuff you've never seen before. Are y'all ready? Before I read it, can I ask y'all a question? Are y'all willing to get help this morning? Are you willing to let this work and change you? This next verse. Because I'm going to try to help some of you this morning. But I can't help you unless you want take it. It's like a medicine. If you don't take the medicine, it ain't going to help you. You ready? Watch this. Verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Don't call me happiness. Verse 20. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Y'all good? Listen to this next verse. I can't believe this was in here. I've never seen it before.
I went out full. It's the title of this message right here. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I've never seen it. Some of y'all need to hear what I'm saying. I know you and you know me, but I'm preaching to you like I don't know you this morning. Some of y'all need to look around in your life and what you're calling failure, what you're calling a mess, what you're calling a famine, what you're calling you're ready to get out of is full. Now, did you hear what I just said? Let this seep in because it's simple. Naomi, 10 years later, my God, Naomi, 10 years later, said in her own words, I should have stayed here. I was full here. I'm empty now. You hear what I'm saying? Because some of y'all are taking for granted what you have. Some of us are taking for granted what we have. Some of you are taking for granted your wife. We have an altar call yet? You can point out of all of her negatives and her flaws and her imperfections, but could you ever just say, my God, you gave me a good thing, Lord. You gave me a helpmate. You gave somebody to love me despite of who I am most of the time. Wife, taking granted of your husband? Have you told him everything that you don't like about him and what he's not doing and how he could do better? Or have you done any affirmation lately? Because men love affirmation. Have you built him up before you tear him all the way down? Have you told him lately, man, you know what? It's good being with somebody. It's good having somebody to provide. It's good for somebody to be a helpmate. It's good for you to be here. There's single people out there who are begging right now for, oh my gosh, they'd be begging for a husband. Y'all don't know this, but some people are. Some kids in here complaining about everything you got. I ain't got nothing. There's no food, no business. My mom and my dad. Golly. I'd like to take you to about 4 or 5 orphanages where a kid's probably sitting on the edge of a bed right now going, I just want a daddy. Or I just want a mama. I just want a family. I don't care if it's a good one. I just want one. We ran a boys' home for about 3 years. Took all the boys. We used to go over to the football field and throw football, kick soccer ball and everything like that. And we'd sit out there and I'd talk to them. And we was all laid out. We'd been out there for 2 or 3 hours. And I was laid back. And this old boy was 18 years old. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed football player. He looked like you cut him out of a teen magazine. Or, you know, whatever they call it now. But anyway, he sat up and he goes, man, it's the best day of my life. I said, what? Best day of my life. Brought us out here, play with us, talk to us, hang out with us. He goes, I'd give one day for like this with my dad. Amen. I'd like to have this much time with my dad and my mom. Amen. We're taking for granted. And listen, I'm gonna end right here. I don't want to end, but I'm gonna kind of end this right here. This church. Now I'm kind of biased. Really biased. This is a good church. Really good church with a lot of people who love each other. But it's also got a lot of diversity in people, age, sexes. I mean, we got everything you need here. Or you can take it for granted. And you can spend most of your time being mad and aggravated and frustrated. And guess what? We can dwindle this thing down to about 20 people. Be right. Or, you know what we could do? Before we all mess up, my God, before we leave somewhere full to trade it for somewhere empty. Because see, Naomi learned, she's got 3 graves down in Moab. 3 graves in Moab is empty. Sometimes you take for granted what's really important. The people that love you and the people in your family, your church family. Amen? So I'm telling you right now, I know there's some people. Let's all stand and say, come on. I know there's some people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that you're making some big decisions in your life. week after week, month after month. And a lot of times you're not even inquiring to God about what you're going to do. What you're going to do about your job. What you're going to do about your finances. What you're going to do about your marriage. What you're going to do about your children. Children, what you're going to do about your future. Wouldn't it be good from 10 years from now you look back and say, you know what, God? I'm glad I talked to you about it and stayed in the place that looked harder but ended up being better than 10 years from now looking back and say, I went out full, but I came back empty. As they sing a song, if you want to talk to the Lord, the altar's open.